Hi, friends. I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna. And this is the Growing Home Together podcast.
We're caring for the soul of your family, helping you grow closer to God
and each other. Thanks for joining us today on the Growing Home Together podcast. Now, quite a few years ago, we had a friend who described to us how she felt stuck in her relationship with Jesus. Now, she was one of those people who has an amazing, wonderful story of salvation where God had radically transformed her life when she first believed in him. And she had an amazing community of mature believers who poured into her life to disciple her faith. She was a diligent student of scripture. She had a powerful prayer life. She was deeply involved at church, and she was discipling her own kids with passion and creativity.
Yes, and in that same conversation, she shared how she felt like she'd fallen into some kind of spiritual pit. God felt a million miles away. The Bible wasn't speaking clearly to her anymore, and she felt depressed and discouraged. And when you add to that a lot of life stressors and some painful circumstances, she wondered if she'd ever grow closer to God again.
Right. And I know our friend isn't the only one who has felt that way. Many of us are feeling totally tapped out right now. Our relationships have grown weak or distant, and we've lost our sense of security, community. We don't know where God is in all of this. And our old habits of Bible reading and prayer and church just don't seem to be moving us closer to God at all. We wonder how to break through what today's guests call the wall to move forward on our spiritual journey.
Yes, Bill and Christy Galtier are here to help us answer that question today. Bill and Christy have served both in ministry and counseling for 30 years. They are the founders of Soul Shepherding, helping believers move toward intimacy with Jesus, emotional health, and loving relationships. They are also the authors of an amazing new book called Journey of the Soul, a practical guide to emotional and spiritual health. Thank you for joining us today, Bill and Christy. We appreciate it.
Hey, Rob and Joanna, it's so fun to be with you on Growing Home Together and to share with your listeners.
Wonderful to join you.
Yes, we're so glad that you're here. And, you know, we've really been looking forward to getting to know you better and to hear more about how this book you've written was born. Could you tell us a little about that?
Well, it's a book that we've needed handed people for many years in our work as therapists and spiritual directors and our work in churches, previously as pastors and now more working with pastors and church leaders. Because as you said in your opening story, you know, everybody is on a journey with Jesus and there are stages of faith that we go through, but most of us don't have the language for the experiences that are going on in those different stages, the conflicts, the different needs we have. And what we've discovered from our research and just years of working with people and really just from our own individual discipleship to Jesus is that if these different stages that we call Christ stages, there are different spiritual disciplines, different soul care practices that are going to be helpful at each stage. So when you learn that map, a whole world opens up to you.
Sure. Yeah, for me, the whole premise of your book was really compelling. It's only been recently in my own studies and things that I've kind of seen the spiritual life as a journey with specific stages, like you're describing in your book. So can you help us better understand the six, what you call the Christ stages of faith that we go through on our journey?
Yes. Well, we all go through these stages, even our children. So here as you are parents or growing in your home, this pertains to you. This pertains to everybody that you know. And you're on a journey in your own journey with Jesus, but you're also journeying with other people. And you have people that are journeying with you that might be a stage ahead of you or even two stages ahead of you that are giving you kind of a vision of what's next. So let's look at these stages. We call them the Christ stages, and we use the acronym for Christ for each of the stages just to make it simple and to help us to remember the stages. Once you understand this model, it's so helpful to help you love people and participate with Jesus and what he's doing in their lives and also responding to what he's doing in your life. So the first stage is the C stage, confidence in Christ. And this is the stage where we're first coming to place our confidence in Christ, to learn we're a part of the family of God. We're first often introduced to church and learning to worship and receiving communion and baptism and some of the special ministries of the church that way in the C stage.
The H stage is help and discipleship. And that's where we're really digging into God's word, probably getting involved in a small group and learning the teachings of the Bible and how to apply them to our life. And the key word there, help, is because we need to be mentored. We need to be pastored. We need to be shepherded and guided. Bible is a big book. And so learning to understand the different doctrines and teachings of the Christian faith and learning how to live into that, that takes some process there and some study and some guidance in community, ideally, again, in church and in small group relationships like that.
And then the next stage, the R stage, is responsibilities and ministry. And at this stage, we've come to understand that God has given us all some unique gifts. We call them joy gifts in the book. And as we come to understand that God wants us to team together with others in his body, in the church, to serve him. And as we do that, we can accomplish way more and make a bigger impact for God and his kingdom together, using these gifts and growing in these responsibilities. And we each learn that we have a ministry that's important to the heart of God.
And then after some years serving God in responsibilities and ministry, we probably hit that wall that you talked about at the outset there. Mm-hmm. And we might hit the wall really at any time in our Christian life or even before we come to faith in Christ. And some of us experience these times of stuckness or dryness more than once in our journey with Jesus. But what we have found is that the most common time that people deal with the wall is after some years of serving God, not only in the church, but in community, in your home, as parents. And we take on, as Christy talked about, you know, discovering our gifts in different ways that we can serve God and help people. We take on these responsibilities, and initially there's often a lot of joy with that and feelings of significance and meaning and how we're serving the Lord and really helping people. But it starts to get old and it starts to get heavy. And really what's happening is the Holy Spirit is drawing us into a new season. And hopefully we get the vision that we give in the Christ Stages map, that the wall is not a dead end. It's mm-hmm. it's actually a new opportunity to, it's actually the pivot of the soul into the second half of the Christ Stages, where there is so much more that God has for us.
And then the next stage after we push through that wall is the inner journey stage, the I stage. And in the inner journey stage, this is an opportunity for us to really open our soul to Holy Spirit to bring a great healing in our areas of woundedness and past pain, often areas that we've been denying and repressing earlier in our journey, just to continue to press on and to grow and to deal with life and what it throws at us, and to establish some of those basic early beliefs and foundation. But now we're ready for more. We're ready to get gut level, emotionally honest with the Lord and with ambassadors of his, and to let him shine his light into some of the dark places of our soul that we've even been afraid to go. And so in the inner journey stage, we're leaning into maybe some new disciplines, like disciplines of solitude, where we're really withdrawing from all the distractions of life to be with Jesus, to listen to him. We're learning to hear his voice at a deeper level and to experience deeper experiences of God's love that are healing for us.
The S stage is spirit-led ministry. And this is a big shift here, because in the I stage that Christy was just introducing, it's a quieter time, and we're stepping back from some of our activities and responsibilities because we've gotten tired. We've maybe been burned out, different experiences we have at the wall. And so we're needing to do that inner care for our heart and our soul and our relationship with God. So we need to calm down the activities. But in the S stage of spirit-led ministry, we're re-engaging, serving God with our gifts and in a greater way. But we've learned a whole different way of doing it, because in the R stage of responsibilities and ministry, we tend to work hard for God and not realizing how much we're depending on our own abilities and our own self. And so there's a big deconstruction of the false self that happens when we hit that wall and we're wrestling and asking questions and struggling to sense God's presence. And then if we hear the Spirit's call into the inner journey work, which can ultimately bring that resolution and healing at the wall, Then in that inner journey work, we're developing a new intimacy with God and a greater self-awareness. And through that, as that leads us into the S stage of spirit-led ministry, we learn better now how to do our work, our ministry, our parenting, not only for God and for God's glory, but also with God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in God's power. And so that makes all the difference in the world. We call this the easy yoke stage because we're learning Jesus' easy way of doing hard things. We're learning how that God's grace is not only for salvation, it's also for work. God's grace empowers us to do work in God's energy.
And then this last stage, the T stage, is transforming union. We actually, in the book, unpack symbols for each of these stages. And the symbol for the T stage is wedding rings, because we are fully wed to the Lord. We have been faithful. We have been in an intimate, ongoing relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have a depth of intimacy. We've learned to be able to practice the presence of God with us at all times and to really appreciate God's Spirit with us, guiding us and directing us. We've learned to suffer for Christ. We've learned to bless those who curse us, as Jesus instructs us to do. So there's just a deeper level of maturity here where we're able to stay engaged with Jesus and the Lord and all that he's doing in a greater maturity and a faithfulness that reduces sin. Really isn't much of a temptation for us explicitly here in the transforming union stage. We've gotten too smart. We've learned the sting of it. We've learned where it's better without it at this point. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes after some years in transforming union, we'll find that the Lord is calling us back for some new touches again as we go through the stages again. So it's kind of like with parenting, as all of you are growing a home together. Once you've gone through all of the stages of development as a parent, then you go back and you go through them with your children. And as you go through them, you have experience there, you have blessings you've received, but there's still some new things you're learning along the way as you're guiding others in the process. And it can be like that for us with these stages as well.
Yeah. And the way you flesh it out in the book is, it's just so helpful, because I think as Christians, you know, we know that Christ did the work to save us, I think, and we're excited about that. But sometimes it's not real clear, what does that process of growing in Christ look like? And so I know a lot of times the wall, you come to a point of a wall and you think, I guess maybe I'm not a Christian, you know, maybe I shouldn't be struggling like this. Maybe if it's over for mm-hmm. me. Or sometimes I know early on, and when I was a new excited believer, I thought I was at the T stage, you know, I thought I've got mm-hmm. this beat, and sin kind of slapped me in the face and said, no, you got a ways to go yet. So, one thing that you make pretty clear in the book is that it's not necessarily going in a straight line, that sometimes these stages move and we do hit that wall. Can you talk a little bit more about the wall and what that is as we're going through these spiritual tracks and what to look for?
Yeah, so in Journey of the Soul, we've integrated spirituality and psychology, even cognitive development and moral development and our relational world. So we're looking at how we develop it in all these different aspects of our humanness, of our personality, and how they integrate. And so it is a developmental model, in that each stage has different lessons and experiences of mm-hmm. God's grace and challenges to work through that prepare us for the next stage. So one stage builds on the next. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Rob, it is cyclical, in that we're moving up and down or forward and backwards, and we're not just static, and because we're shifting around in different seasons of the soul. And so the critical transition is this wall, because it's dividing the first half of the Christ stages, C, H, and R, from the second half, I, S, and T. And so there's a whole different spirituality on these two sides of the wall. On the first side, we're a lot more black and white and linear, more prone to be judgmental. And on the second half, we're a lot more open-minded and gracious and able to integrate paradoxes and live with the gray. And so the wall is a potentially very transformative time if we open up to the call of the Holy Spirit. But the initial thing we feel, the wall, is just a distress and turbulence and discombobulation.
Well, and I would say at the wall, I felt shame as well, almost like as if I must have done something wrong to mm-hmm. be at this wall.
So I've hit the wall three times in my life. The first time was at a summer job in college where I was persecuted as a Christian and mistreated. And I tried to be a good witness for Jesus and I got discouraged, and God just felt so far from me for those 3 months. And I didn't understand why God was allowing me to suffer like this. And it was very confusing and disorienting to me. The second time was in my mid-30s. We had three children, young children we were raising. I was overworking as a pastor and as a psychologist in a two-sided career. And I just burned out, and I burned out from spiritual disciplines as well. And I lost my zeal for the Lord. And there was just this distance that I felt spiritually that I didn't understand very well. The third time I hit the wall was a few years ago, and it was in my leadership of our organization, Soul Shepherding. And I was struggling with inadequacy in the challenges of our organization growing and being called into some new ways of leading that weren't my sweet spot, and trying to find God in that. And so in that third time of stuckness, the big difference for me was that I had this model of the Christ stages. We had learned this and we'd been teaching it in our Soul Shepherding Institute, which is our program of spiritual formation and soul care, and where we certify spiritual directors. And so having the language of the Christ stages and the wall, and understanding that there's these different types of walls, and that each of these, while it's painful and disorienting, and it is a time where we can feel stuck, whether it's a burnout from overworking, or a spiritual burnout from spiritual disciplines and church activities, or a blowout with a moral failing, or a personal crisis, maybe a depression or a time of grief because we've lost a loved one, going through some other loss, or a faith crisis, as we've mentioned, where we're doubting God and our faith doesn't seem true anymore, or the dark night of the soul, where even though we're seeking God, he just feels distant, and there's this mysterious deep work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. So there's all these different types of walls that we might experience, but each one can be an invitation into this inner journey. And that's the biggest takeaway of Journey of the Soul and the Christ Stages map, is that the wall is not a dead end, as I said. It's not just a dark tunnel. It actually is a light at the end. And if we understand, as I did that third time I hit the wall, it was like, oh, I know what this means. I need to do some more inner journey work. I need to delve more into my emotions and ask some questions. Now, part of me was resistant to that because I was like, man, I've done a lot of inner journey work before. I don't need to go back into this. But I was like, no, I need to trust the model. I need to trust the map. I need to trust the work of the Holy Spirit. And so sure enough, by staying with that process of the inner journey questions and reflecting and processing my emotions in prayer and with safe people, the Lord really helped me through that season and back into Spirit-led ministry.
Yeah. So do you think there's a difference, I guess, as you were talking, between the wall and like maybe a suffering we're going through? Can those be the same thing, but are they sometimes different? You know what I'm saying?
Well, at each of the Christ stages, we talk about a roadblock, which is a different expression of suffering.
Okay.
A different sort of challenge or trial. And they're not all a wall experience. They can become a wall. Mm-hmm. So like in the C stage of confidence in Christ, the roadblock is, we call it soul splits, because in that early experience as a Christian, we're torn between two worlds, between the kingdom of God and the world around us. And so there's a lot of falling back into sin. That's like the normative experience in the C stage. In the H stage, the roadblock is misinterpreting scripture. The roadblock in our stage is false identity, and at the wall, it's distrusting God. At the I stage, is denial of emotions. Then we got the dark night of the soul at the S stage, and then the temptation to diminish Jesus at the T stage. So all of these different roadblocks can have aspects of distress or pain involved with them. So suffering is a part of every Christ stage and all aspects of our discipleship to Jesus. It doesn't always become a wall. It becomes a wall when we get to feeling stuck and disoriented, and we don't know how to proceed, because the kinds of practices that we've been doing to grow spiritually in the past the ways that we've been connecting with God in the past that used to work for us, used to help us to feel God's presence, is not working the same way anymore.
Hi, friends. Rob and Joanna Tigan of Growing Home Together are the parents of five kids ranging in age from elementary school to high school to adult newlyweds. They know the fun and joy and also the stress and confusion that could come with raising kids through all the ages and stages of growing up. Just like you, they worry over their children's safety and well-being. They feel the pressure to train their kids to do what's right, and they carry sadness when their kids struggle or make poor choices. And as parents like you, their greatest hope is to bring up children who know God's love in their life. But Rob and Joanna know they can't control what happens to their kids or the people they become. They have learned how important it is to place their sons and daughters in God's hands. And most of all, they have learned the power of prayer to make a difference in their children's lives. That is why they are so passionate to help moms and dads like you to pray for your kids. They created two amazing resources, Powerful Prayers for Your Son and Powerful Prayers for Your Daughter. These beautiful books offer page after page of targeted prayers that cover every kind of challenge and hope your kids will face as they grow. Is your child facing hard circumstances? Are they lonely or anxious? Do they struggle to know God or trust Him? Is it hard to build a close relationship together? Take hold of Powerful Prayers for Your Son and Powerful Prayers for Your Daughter to invite God's love and power into your child's life today. Each title is available for you at growinghometogether.com or wherever books are sold. And now, back to the show.
So I'm gonna shift a little bit, but kind of stay on this topic. So you know, as I think about these, I think about Joanna and I in our marriage too, and we oftentimes have a front row seat to each other's spiritual struggles and even those walls. We're coming up on 30 years of marriage, so we've been through this a few times with each other too. And honestly, at times, when it brings that worry and that confusion and things, I can want to push Joanna quickly through that wall. You know, I want to get it over with and things. So what do you think is the best way to walk alongside your spouse or others on their spiritual journey when they're going through those kind of things?
I love the heart that you have in this question, because it's so important as we journey together. We are often going to be in different stages from our spouse. Mm-hmm. And that means one of us is going to likely be in a stage ahead. And it can be sometimes a temptation, like you're saying, to want to rush them to get up and to experience God and the new things that we're excited about that God's doing in our life and that we're learning. But that's not where they are. They're not ready yet. Good Shepherd is guiding us each. And He's guiding us each down His path of righteousness in His time, in His way. And so experiencing our stages are not something that we can manufacture or for ourselves or for somebody else's journey. And yet at the same time, as we continue to grow and we continue to share our experience with our spouse of what, how we're experiencing the Lord and what He's doing in our lives, and we've got some spiritual intimacy in our conversation, God can really use that to help grow us along. So when I was at the wall, Bill was in Spirit-led ministry. And that actually really ministered to me and helped me, because I was able to reflect and remember what it was like when he was at the wall and how difficult and painful that was. And when I was at the wall and I was beginning to feel hopeless, it helped me and gave me hope to look at him and to see that actually I'd seen his journey beyond the wall, and I'd seen his renewal, and I saw how much passion and love and intimacy he enjoyed and power in his relationship with Jesus. And so I looked forward to that, and that gave me hope. And so I think sometimes we can encourage one another even without words, but it also, he was able to minister to me great empathy because he had experienced the wall and he remembered what that was like. And so as he would not judge me or not worry about me or not try to fix me when I was at the wall, and instead just enter into that pain with me and empathize with me, that was a great, helpful ministry to me.
Empathy is so important for our spiritual life and our relationships. And when we learn the language of the Christ stages and the different feelings and challenges that are going on at each stage, it really helps us to listen to people, whether it's our spouse, a friend, or our kids, and to offer them the empathy, the compassion that they need in order to know that God is near and God's heart is for them and with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I do love also about your book is it is a great tool. Like you said, there's a map here. So if you can look through this and as you're going through it and seeing kind of maybe what stage you're at and what practices and what things might help you in your connection and in your journey with God, you can also look for your spouse and things too to see where they might be. And I think one of the main reasons God gives men wives is so we just stop trying to fix everything. Yeah. That tends to be our go-to. But the other question I was going to ask too is how do you think these stages help us disciple our kids? Because I think there's a process there too that it might help us have more empathy and understanding for our kids too.
Yeah, well, young children are going to, as they develop in their relationship with God, they're going to experience especially the early stages of confidence in Christ and the new life and new relationship with the Lord, experiencing God's forgiveness and coming to understand God as a loving Father. And then they can begin to grow in their help and discipleship where they're getting involved in youth group and learning to read the Bible and study the Bible, maybe even being in a small group, different sort of spiritual disciplines they might practice. And as they come into like their teen years, maybe some before, they can begin to find ways that they can help and they can work and they can serve and contribute to ministering to other people, even doing chores around the home and helping in the home setting. And so the R stage of responsibilities and ministry, many children experience that as well. And the wall experience is commonly experienced like sometime around age 40 or before, but it could be as early as teen years or age 20. And some of our adult children are doing some of that inner journey work in the later Christ stages.
Okay. It also really helps to understand these stages as a parent. It was so helpful to me because we were raising our kids and we had really, you know, we had them opportunities to be in Sunday school and Awanas, which was great for their confidence in Christ and their help and discipleship. They received so much from our church ministry in those early discipleship, but it wasn't enough just at church. It needed to come through our lives and at home too. And so it's very important as you're nurturing your kids and discipling them that you are modeling your own authentic relationship with Jesus, that they're seeing you live out your faith and seeing the depth and the importance and the priority of it, that it is for them, that it's not just something you do once a week for an hour or, you know, because if it is, it's not going to make enough impact on their own formation. And it's important that it's not just modeled to them as this is something we just believe and do, but this is something that is our whole life. It's core to our identity and to our purpose in life. And so giving them some of the bigger pictures and visions, especially through our own modeling, but then also getting concrete and specific with them in their life. And as we learn these stages, it helps us to be able to pray for our kids. It's been so helpful to me to understand these stages. I remember when our daughter was in junior high and she was making some decisions that were grieving me and that were actually, I was judging her quite honestly, because I was like, she knows better. We haven't raised her this way. And Bill reminded me, it's like, Christy, she's in the confidence in Christ stage. She's torn between the world and her relationship with Jesus. She's in this tug of war and she's struggling with these soul splits. And that was so helpful for me to realize, oh yes, I forgot what it's like, how strong temptation is at that stage. And as Bill reminded me of that and remembering what it was like at the stage, it really enabled me to start praying for her, not judging her, but loving her and having more empathy for her. And that enabled me to be a conduit of God's grace to her that was actually strengthening to her spiritual walk and her bond with Jesus. So understanding the stages really help us as a parent, both in parenting our kids and in praying for them as well. And we've made this material really easy. We've put together some soul talk cards that have the symbols for each of the stages and some key Bible verses and then some soul talk questions. And these are things that we've done around the dinner table with our kids, discipling them. One pastor that we spoke at his church is using them every night, one card at a time at bed to with his daughter. And he said, we've never had such deep, rich, effective discipleship going on as we're having in these conversations using the Soul Talk cards at night. So we've made it really easy with colorful pictures. We've got free videos that you can watch to learn this in quick and easy ways at journeythesoul.org to make it fun for a family.
Wow, that's awesome. And so just to be clear in all that great stuff you shared, so the terrible twos are probably not a wall. So just want to make that clear to parents. Just want to be clear to parents listening, you know, you might have to be creative with that one. It might be further down the road. So,
oh gosh. Well, you know, one thing that really caught my attention and sets your ministry apart from what a lot I see is that you connect our emotional growth and the health of our relationships to how we're growing spiritually. So how does growing closer to God help us cope with our negative emotions and maybe start reacting differently to the situations that we're struggling with? Or right now it feels like there's so many situations we can't control.
Yeah, well, a subtitle for Journey of the Soul could have been Following Jesus with Feelings and Faith. Because what we teach is that our feelings and faith are not necessarily opposed to each other and in conflict. And we often get that idea. Unfortunately, a lot of times the way discipleship is presented to us is like, believe the right things and do the right things. Believe the right things and do the right things. And certainly what we believe and what we do are very important, but there's so much more to a human being. We're a living soul. And so getting in touch with our emotions and learning the language of feelings really opens up our whole soul and opens up a greater intimacy in all of our relationships within the family context, our friendships, our coworkers, and especially our relationship with God. So in each of the Christ stages, we are unpacking different things that we feel, and we're looking at Jesus as our model. That's why they're called Christ stages. We quote Henry Now, and he says, there's no journey to God outside the journey that Jesus made. Mm-hmm. So we're following Jesus in his humanness and in his faith in God that he shows us in the Gospels. We're following him at each of these stages, and we look at Jesus, and he experiences these emotions. So a whole range of emotions, including positive emotions, love and joy and peace, which are not just emotions, but they include emotions, as well as the distresses of anxiety and frustration and anger and feelings of discouragement, depression, shame, sadness and grief. And so understanding the things that we're feeling and learning how to incorporate that into our Bible reading, into our small groups, into our friendships, into our prayers, and things like how we pray the Psalms. The Psalms give us the language of emotions. And so this is really central, especially at the I stage of the inner journey, which is really all about that delving deeper into our heart and our soul and our relationships and the emotional aspects of that.
Yeah, and I love that because I think as we take hold of that in our own personal journey with God, that also is just such a way of informing our parenting. You were making me think about the other morning driving my son to school, and we fell into this conversation about some old hurts that he'd been carrying around, and he unpeeled this layer and showed this emotion of shame that he had been carrying around that I had no idea about. And I literally had to pull the car over to the side of the road and just look in his eyes and talk about, okay, tell me about that feeling, and what would God say? Who does God say that you are? You know, and Jesus is the only solution that he could find to heal that in him. But you're absolutely right. His understanding of God and being able to receive the love of God is completely woven into those emotions that he's feeling.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful example, Joanna, because that's so much of what discipleship comes down to is spontaneous conversations, especially with our children. And so I just love the way you pulled off the side of the road and looked in his eyes and listened to his emotions and gave him empathy and validated that, and then helped him to connect with Jesus there.
You were being a shepherd after the shepherd's heart in a beautiful way there.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, when I was going through your book, you know, I was struck by that just as you were saying, Bill, sometimes we don't slow down. We forget that it is a journey and we're on a journey and, you know, our spouse is on a journey and our kids are on a journey. And this book helped kind of lay that out and helped me kind of see like, okay, how can I help them? I was thinking even the great practices that you give all throughout the book, sometimes the way we connect with God in a certain one stage doesn't necessarily work in another stage, you know, or we start feeling that distance. And I was thinking in terms of, you know, Joanna and I, you know, we have certain things we love to do on dates, but probably if I took her to the same movie every Thursday yeah. night and we did the same, you know, it would probably make our marriage a little stale. And, you know, so, and I think of that in terms of God too. So you guys also are very helpful in kind of giving some practices in different parts, in different stages that will help maybe connect with God in those stages, which is great too.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Rob, because it is so important that we learn the range of spiritual disciplines and soul care practices that can be helpful for us personally and for our kids, for people that we are ministering to or teaching. When we learn the lay of the land, there are really a great variety of spiritual practices, and some are more helpful at one stage or the other. And so that is really one of the big takeaways of Journey of the Soul.
Well, would you be willing to share a couple of those spiritual practices with us right now? I mean, thinking back to our friend, like if you had met her in that state of her despair and discouragement, and she thought she was just doing all of the practices that she could think of to get close to God and they weren't working, what couple of practices might you have suggested to her right then?
Well, one of them is praying Psalms of Lament. The psalmist models this emotionally honest prayer for us. When he's at the wall, when he's in his time of great suffering, and he's processing through his emotion, you know, in Psalm 13, he prays, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long must I wrestle with these thoughts and every day of sorrow in my heart?" You know, he's calling out, "Look on me and listen, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death." He's crying out with his emotionally honest language, saying, "Lord, hear me, help me break through. I'm hurting, I need you." We see other places where he prays psalms that are full of anger at his enemies and asking God to take vengeance on his enemies. And he's bringing all of his struggles and he's holding nothing back from his relationship with the Lord. He's approaching God with this confidence of intimacy that the Lord speaks to us about in Psalm 139. And so these can be a great grace to us when we are at the wall in joining with the psalmist and writing our own psalms of lament.
Another example would be talking with a spiritual director who will really listen to you, who understands the language of the soul, these Christ stages of faith, who understands the dark night of the soul, other wall experiences, and can help us through these seasons by providing empathy and prayer support and guidance in the different spiritual practices that will be helpful at the different stages. And so the big idea here is that the kinds of disciplines that help us early in our Christian walk, like Bible study, like attending church and participating in worship services and these kinds of, you know, daily devotions and memorizing Bible verses and service projects and using our gifts and all these sorts of disciplines that are go with the first stages of the soul, when we're at the wall, those things are less likely to have the same positive impact. And now we need to slow down. We need to shift gears. We need to turn inward and learn that language of emotions. And we need to receive support through things like praying the Psalms or talking with a spiritual director. And also, at a time like this, we learn the value of solitude, like Christy mentioned that earlier, just being quiet, being still in God's presence, maybe even taking a nap and doing that in a sense like Jesus on the boat in the middle of the storm. He's able to nap because he trusts that God is at work, because his Father will take care of them. Or John at the Last Supper, he lays his head on Jesus' chest, and we could imagine that while we take a nap. And so something like that could even be a spiritual practice, and it's especially useful during a season like this at the wall.
Yeah.
So we feature a practice in each chapter of the Journey of the Soul book to give you some opportunities to experience some of these new ways of connecting with the Lord and receiving from Him.
Yeah. And who wouldn't want to buy a book that one of the spiritual disciplines and practices is taking a nap?
That's right.
You know, who gives you that for?
Right. I love that. Yeah. You're making me think of someone I was talking to recently who just on her own chose to take a sabbatical. And it's so rare that you hear of someone who's honoring their own need and recognizing their need for quiet and just saying, you know what, I'm going to stop pouring out and let God pour into me. And I just thought that was really beautiful and kind of courageous and countercultural, really.
Yeah, well, sabbatical care is an important ministry in soul shepherding as we work with pastors and missionaries and all kinds of leaders. As well, we offer spiritual retreats that are shorter and more doable for a lot of people because it's so important that we practice unplugging from our work and our responsibilities and do some soul training and do that in community and practice some spiritual disciplines in some new ways, especially as we're learning the language of the Christ stages. And, you know, a lot of times the inner journey work is what we're needing. And so retreats are a great opportunity for that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, today we are just so glad that we could share this time with you, Bill and Christy, and you offer a lot of hope that no matter how we feel or what we're going through, there is always a way to find our way back to God. Would you be willing to pray for those listening who are feeling far from Him, but they want to take that step closer today in a new way?
I'd love to. Jesus, how grateful I am to you for each listener here today who's listening, who really wants to grow and wants to grow their families, their children. And Lord, I thank you that you are with them. The risen Christ, you are risen and going ahead of them, that you are the light of the world, lighting the way for them. Good Shepherd, you're the one leading them down the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And so I ask that you would give them peace and confidence that you are with them, guiding them, instructing them, that they would be able to be sensitive to your Spirit's, Lord, instruction, that their hearts would expand to receive more of your life-giving grace and truth, and to be able to organically overflow that to their children, to their spouses, to family members, to those you've put them near them in their life and relationship. I ask that you would provide times for each of them to connect with you in ways that you would nurture their soul and that you would grow their roots deep down into the soil of your love, producing in them greater fruit of joy and peace and love for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for that. And before we wrap up, I know some of our friends listening will want to learn how they can find your book and connect with all the great resources that we talked about throughout the program. And I know there's more available on your site too, because I have frequented it a lot lately and seen. So where can people get a hold of you and connect with you online?
Yeah, well, you can order our book, Journey of the Soul, wherever books are sold. And if you want to order the suite of Journey of the Soul products, it includes the Soul Talk cards that Christy mentioned, which are like a deck of playing cards, very colorful, simple, and fun, each with a Bible verse and a Soul Talk question. This is family friendly. Kids love it. The spontaneousness of it. You can get that on journeyofthesoul.org. And you'll also find our leader's guide for leading a small group. You'll find professionally produced videos for like small groups or just for yourself to go deeper. And those videos are free. And so lots of resources on journeyofthesoul.org. Another one, Christy just whispered in my ear, is we have a playlist of contemporary Christian worship songs. We have picked out 30 songs or more for each of the Christ stages. So that's 7 different playlists. And it's amazing how our Christian artists speak to the different needs and challenges and opportunities at each of these Christ stages. And so that's another fun way to learn the stages. I just love to listen to those songs and just celebrate God's grace at each of the Christ stages. And so you'll find the link for that on journeyofthesoul.org, and basically it takes you to Spotify, and that is also free. And so then if you go to our website, soulshepherding.org, That's for our whole ministry. And there you'll be able to connect with one of our senior spiritual directors who has been trained in Journey of the Soul in the Christ Ages and is great at listening with empathy and guiding you in your spiritual life, in your prayer life, and helping you to sense God's presence if God is feeling far, helping you to ask those questions, wrestle through those issues, and know that you're not alone, and discover what God is doing in your life in that season. And we have our Soul Shepherding Institute where we train you and offer a certificate in spiritual direction. That's also available at soulshepherding.org.
As well as a weekly short devotional blog we send out by email. And we have a podcast too. So we'd love for you to check us out on soulshepherding.org.
Or you can find us on Instagram.
Yeah.
You Facebook, guys, YouTube, everywhere, all over the place.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us and sharing this with us today. You know, the purpose of our ministry is caring for the soul of your family, and your ministry gives us so much help to do that. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's been a joy.
And we'd love to connect with any of you who are listening. Just look us up, Bill and Christy Galtier, and we'd love to talk with you.
Great.
And thank you, friends, for joining us today for the Growing Home Together podcast. Rob and I would love to connect with you over on our website at growinghometogether.com. You'll find articles and our whole collection of resources. Plus, we have a free marriage devotional for you and some fun activities to share with your kids. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And growing home together with you. Bye.
Bye.